You may have picked up on a thread in some of our liturgy and music already in the service today. We've been talking a good bit about singing, about the importance of song and the power of music over us as a way of expressing our faith. That's on purpose because today's scripture lesson comes to us from the first chapter of the letter to the Colossians. And the majority of our scripture reading today is actually in the form of a hymn. It's the words to an ancient Christian hymn. So when the author of Colossians is writing to the church there in Colossae, he makes some important points, and then early on he quotes two stanzas of an early Christian hymn that was already in existence before the letter was written. We can assume it was a hymn that the audience as well as the author already knew. It'd sort of be like if in the middle of the sermon today, I broke out into Amazing Grace, right? You know the words. I know the words. You'd probably run for the hills if I was singing it as a solo. But you get the point. You know where it's coming from. So that's exactly what happens here at the beginning of the letter to the Colossians. Our scripture reading, initially, the first sentence is the words of the author, and then it shifts gears into the hymn itself. So let us listen for the word of the Lord. God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And now the hymn begins. He, that is Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. And now the second stanza begins. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Music has the power to transport us, to carry our minds to faraway lands, to carry our hearts back in time to memories in the past. Music can call and carry us home. I remember when I was in college, 8 hours away in South Carolina, and it was time to come home for a break during the school year. I'd get in the car, and at least once, if not multiple times, on that long car ride, I'd pull out the old, worn-out Lynyrd Skynyrd CD, slip it into the CD player, crank up the volume, and sing to the top of my lungs, Sweet Home Alabama. That song carried me home to see my kin. Some songs can do that. They can carry us home. As I already mentioned, the author of Colossians employs the use of this song, this early familiar Christian hymn, to set the tone at the very beginning of the letter. You see, things had gotten a little fuzzy for the Christian community in that town. They were, of course, as Christians, worshiping Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. They were praying to him for help through the harsh realities of life, the struggles that we all face. But when things got really bad, and when they looked around and saw the rest of the community around them, this polytheistic culture, the worship of many other gods, especially the Greco-Roman gods, sometimes when it got really tough, these Christians would turn and worship other powers to help them get through hard days. They did it out of need. They didn't at the time understand this as an attack on their Christian faith. No, in their minds, they could worship God and, as an additional precaution to sort of hedge their bets, also pray to another power. They might worship Christ in church on Sunday, but on Monday, before you got on that boat, just say a quick prayer to Poseidon, just in case. Now, before we turn our noses down at these folks, let's remember that we do the same thing today. It may not be other gods in human form. We don't tend to worship Zeus and Poseidon and Athena. We have our other idols these days. We proclaim on one day that Christ is Lord, but we also hedge our bets, don't we? We buy into the broken powers of the world around us, the political, national, economic, and ideological systems of our day. So the letter to the Colossians speaks a word and asks some questions that we need to wrestle with just as much as the original audience did. Questions like, what kind of power does Jesus really have? And how do we handle all those other powers in the world around us? How do our actions reveal what we truly believe? The letter to the Colossians was written with this purpose in mind, to call the wandering Christian community back to the truth of the gospel, to call them back to remember their hopes in Christ, to call them back from their fears and their false attempts at security, to call them back from their empty idols and ideologies, to call them back to the simple Christian ethics of neighborly love, submission to God, and practicing forgiveness. It was written to call them back home. My great-great-grandmother had 9 children. They were spread out in various ages, but 4 of the boys in particular would stay out late playing in the neighborhood, and so when it was time to call them in for supper, she would go out into the yard and she would sing their names. She would sing them back home with a little tune that she wrote that's been passed on in the family. Johnister, Hatchester, Woodister, Roe, biggest to Buckshot, littlest to Joe. That was her calling my great uncles, John Hatcher and Woodrow and Buck and Joe. She would sing them back home. She'd sing them back home to where they belonged, to the table that was set. In its own way, a glimpse of the heavenly banquet table, the feast in the kingdom of God, where all are welcomed in Christ's name. Christ, the source of all creation. She would sing them back home, and that's exactly what the letter to the Colossians is seeking to do in quoting this hymn, to sing us back home in Christ. This hymn, this early hymn, hidden, tucked away within the letter, is not entirely unique. There were a few other early Christian hymns that show up in other books, like the Gospel of John, the letter to the Philippians, and 1 Timothy. But this one is special because of the 2 stanzas that cover 2 different themes. The first stanza is all about creation and Christ's rule over all creation. The second stanza is about redemption, what God has done in Christ to redeem and reconcile us through His death and resurrection. These 2 themes stand together. Sometimes truth is deeper when we sing it than if we merely said it. Sometimes we are not only shaped by what we sing, but what we sing shapes us. We are, as Christians, what we sing. Above all, this hymn is a hymn of praise that sings about who Christ is. The whole thing is an extended doxology. In fact, it's some of the highest words of praise, some of the most mature theology in all of the New Testament. here in this hymn. Here, we hear about the cosmic rule of Christ over all of existence, about His power, His glory, His action as God's very image incarnate. All of the cosmos, we are told, space and time, all life and matter, all truth and beauty, past, present, and future, all things, all of creation, have come into being through Him and for Him. Through Him and for Him. You see, Christ is not only the agent of creation, He is also its goal and its purpose. All things through Him and for Him. And so all those other powers that the Colossians have been turning to, all those other lords and truths that seek to claim our identity today, all else, everything else, this hymn reminds us, falls under Christ's lordship. Apart from Him, there is no way. There is no truth. There is no life. Through Him, existence itself is given meaning and purpose and goodness and is redeemed through His resurrection. Wow, that's a lot of stuff. A lot of powerful stuff to say in just a few verses. It'd be powerful enough on its own if the author merely wrote in his own words, but the fact that he quotes this hymn, that he starts singing in his letter, it has the power to move his audience and to move us as well. He invites the Colossians to join in singing the chorus. He invites us today to join in the choir. In the midst of all our fears and failures, our broken dreams and shattered hopes, our many forms of idolatry and insecurity, we are called to sing together. We are called back home in Christ. As we sing of the Father's love begotten, ere the worlds began to be, He is Alpha and Omega. He the source, the ending, He. Music has the power to carry us home. There's a church in the heart of Atlanta that's developed a kind of unique tradition amongst their choir members. It began one day when a beloved member of the choir had moved into hospice care and was on his deathbed. The members of the choir decided rather than going to visit him individually, they would all go together as a group and they would sing with him. And it was powerful, and it was beautiful. And after he died, someone else said, "When it's my turn, I want the choir to come sing to me as well." So they did it again, and again, and again, over and over and over. The choir director says, "We did our best to sing each person into heaven. Sing them home." I even heard one week when we worshiped there about a time when the choir members couldn't go, and so they took a phone and they put it on speaker, and the choir sang as their beloved companion listened on the other end, states away. Music can carry us home. We sing with a resurrection faith. We sing with trust in the one who was the firstborn from the dead, so that we might all be reconciled and redeemed. So the author of Colossians is trying to call that weary and wayward church back to its origin in Christ, trying to call us back into Christ, the Lord of all creation, the one who is more powerful than all those empty idols, but also more loving, more true, more grace-filled than all the forces that cause us suffering and pain and sorrow and anxiety today. That's the goal. That's the point, to turn back home to Christ. Colossians invites us to do so with a song of praise on our lips. Friends, how can we keep from singing? How can we keep from singing? May we join in the grand chorus throughout the ages. May we join in singing and proclaiming the truth of Christ, of who He is and of who we are as those reconciled in Him. How can we keep from singing? May we rejoice in the good news of God's fearless love, shameless grace, abundant mercy, made real for each and every one of us in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead, through whom all things are reconciled. How can we keep from singing? Amen.